JohnSaintGermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic on trick-or-treat, sneaky tricks, espionage, and subterfuges. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjure Man Ali and Madam Nadia. Conjure Man Ali?
Thank you, Papa Newt, for that lovely introduction. Hopefully you're having a wonderful weekend. As you all can tell, I am not Miss Cat. I will be filling in as the co-host, along with the wonderful Madam Nadia, one of our favorites on the radio show. Miss Cat is away, but we'll be back next week. So we wish her a fun weekend, and we look forward to her return. In the meantime, we have a very exciting show for you that I think is both seasonally appropriate and also quite perennial in that it is going to always be useful for clients. As many of you know, Halloween is here, it's upon us, it's arrived, and it is always a fun season, whether you are a practitioner or not. Everyone likes to get dressed up, there's trick-or-treating, and there's all sorts of fun things that can happen. Whenever there is some type of seasonal event, whether it's Halloween or it's a holiday like Thanksgiving or Christmas, it offers us an opportunity to do some kind of interesting things, trick-or-treating, giving out candies or hanging out with friends. An opportunity to really add a spiritual component to whatever you're doing. And it requires a little bit of a devious mind, but I think you'll be quite entertained by some of the stuff that we discussed today. Let's check in first before we dive into our topic with the wonderful Madam Nadia and see how she's doing as we approach Halloween. Madam Nadia, welcome. So glad to have you.
Oh, thank you, Conjure Man Ali. What a wonderful thing to do on Sunday afternoon. Be welcomed with this velvety voice. I appreciate the welcome. Thank you.
Well, you're always so much fun to have on. And actually, when I found out what the topic was, that is tricks, sneaky tricks, I thought to myself, who better to have this conversation with than have a co-host? Madam Nadia, who is quite devious in your own right.
Oh, well, guilty as charged. Oh, it's going to be an awesome show. I can't wait. And actually, I think I have a track record with the root work hour on somehow ending up being on a Halloween show or like a pre-Halloween show. It's never planned as anything else in my life, but I somehow end up being on the Halloween show. I think it's like maybe the third year or whatever it is. And I'm so, what?
I think that's funny because I think that's quite fitting.
Yes, that's how we do things over here, and I think it's going to be an awesome show. What can be more exciting than a little deviousness around this time of a year? And man, we're having John Saint Germain on the show, and I actually, Jayanne, I've been on his show a couple of weeks ago, and he is an absolute riot and very, very amazing, inspiring, and fun individual. So I think we should bring him on.
Yes, I'm very excited to have John Saint Germain on. For those that are following along, you know, there's All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. The next few days are a really good time to do some magical working. And in light of that, we have a fantastic topic presented by John Saint Germain. So welcome, John Saint Germain. So glad to have you on. You two are a regular on the show. And
oh, my goodness. Thanks.
Favorite.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Congressman Ali. Nadia, nice to see you again. Been a long time, huh?
Since we last spoke.
Long time no see, and we meet again. Well, happy Halloween to everyone, and happy Samhain, and also happy Diwali. Did you guys know it was Diwali,
yes,
the festival of
Diwali.
Lights?
Yep.
Yeah, which is, for those of you who may not know, this is a very important holiday, which extends over 5 days, starting today. it's the celebration of lights, which it always coincides with the darkest new moon night of this month, right? And this is very important to certain people, Hindus, Sikhs, Jains, mm-hmm. and Buddhists. It celebrates the burning away of the past negative conditions and the starting of a new hope. And in these countries, people light up their homes and light up the cities, and there's fireworks and the releasing of those lanterns into the sky, and much mm-hmm. feasting and celebration and wishing of luck to everyone, and prayers to all the goddesses and gods of luck, and wishing well to everyone. So this is a very, very wonderful night for everyone, not only for those of us who like Halloween, but also for those who wish to put aside the darkness of the past and to bring in the light of the new year, the new hope. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And
yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, but people also burn candles and pray to Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. So this
mm-hmm.
is a good time to bring in prosperity and luck also.
Yeah.
Good time for that.
For people who are unfamiliar with Diwali and don't have a South Asian community nearby, definitely check it out on YouTube, because I always find cultural literacy is a bit of a challenge in the United States, as has been my experience. But if you look it up, it's actually a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. Lots of work with candles, lots of, you know, beautiful aspects of Diwali that really should be checked out, looking at Ganesh, you know, the honoring of Ganesh and Lakshmi. Beautiful work. So
yes.
Thank you for reminding us about that, John Saint Germain. It is important to remember that there are wonderful holidays that are going on around the world, not just the one in our kind of Euro-American-centric world, but around the world there are some beautiful things going on. You have introduced
you see wonderful videos of the lights to festivals too.
You've introduced a fantastic topic to us, and I don't want to take up any more time, because I only want to dive into this, because there's so much to talk about sneaky tricks,
yes.
right? Into the
uh-huh.
theme of trick or treat. I'm going to introduce it a little bit, and I'm going to turn this over to you, and you can take it away in the direction that you'd like to discuss it. This is probably one of the kind of core elements of root work that we do. When we think of sneaky tricks, they range. They range from things like laying down powders, right, or burying mm-hmm. things. That is a sneaky trick. To things that are even more devious, right? Getting people to consume things, hiding your magic in a way that people interact with it. Now, the purpose of sneaky tricks, there are two aspects to hoodoo that are really the heart and kind of soul of what we practice. And anthropologically, they're referred to as sympathetic magic, that is magic of like affects like. You create a sympathy, mm-hmm. the kind of most obvious example of this would be the so-called voodoo doll. This is also at the heart of most religions, is sympathetic magic of some sort. Temple religion at its heart is sympathetic magic. Ancient Sumerians, Egyptians, etc., would practice temple magic as a means of maintaining the cosmos, and they did this by quite literally reenacting creation. And so you find this at the heart of all ancient civilizations, both religion and magic, sympathetic. Sneaky tricks falls into the second category that is at the heart of hoodoo, and it is not unique to hoodoo. It's found around folk traditions around the world, and this is what some anthropologists would call contagion magic, or magic that infects, right? That you put someone in contact with your magic, hence the sneaky component of it. You've buried something where they'll walk over it. You've put powder down where they will walk through it. You've put something in food that they will ingest it. You've put something in their pocket or their shoes, et cetera, et cetera, so that they come in contact with your magic. And a particular note in hoodoo is the role of feet in sneaky magic. Feet is very The idea being that your feet are the gateway to your soul. And this is a very Congolese idea, that your feet are the direct route to your soul. And by affecting someone's feet, you affect their soul. But other aspects of the body can also be affected. You can try to influence someone's mind, and you can do a sneaky trick that way. You can influence someone through food. So it is the heart of hoodoo, and it's also one of the practices that I have found in my experience to be most resisted by clients, right? So like candles, they're very comfortable with that. Like this many candles, like, okay, cool. Tell them to go bury something at so-and-so's doorstep or lay powders, and like, oh, I can't do that, right? Or you say, hey, you know, get up this person's hair so we can do some sneaky tricks with it, and they go, oh, I can't do that. So it is one of the more, the heart and soul of hoodoo, but it's also the one that's resisted the most when it comes to novices and novices in this art. So with that introduction, John St. Germain, let's talk a little bit about sneaky tricks and how you incorporate it and use it in your work that you do.
Well, very good. One reason I believe there's reluctance, Conjurer Ali, is that a lot of people are afraid of the karma of it. And it, you know, they're afraid, man, if I go do something like this, this is an evil act, and, you know, a meteor will come out of heaven, or I'll be struck by lightning or something. So, you know, they want us to do it. You know, they want us to do it.
And they're also afraid of getting caught, right? They're afraid of, they're going to see me.
There'll be consequences. There'll be consequences because they're off doing something sneaky and bad, and you know it's that schoolboy thing, you know, school days thing. You know, you get caught and you get spanked and sent to the principal's office and stuff. You know, God will punish me. God will punish me. And it's hard to tell people that in root work there's no concept of karma or kickback or backfire on it, and that if this is a justified work, spirits will aid you in it. They will prevent you. They will protect you. You'll be invisible. You'll be spiritually invisible if it's justified work. And if it's not justified work, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. I said, if you go to this with justification in your heart, and this is a justified cause, and usually, you know, if I'm talking to clients, you know, if they call me up and they just want to kill somebody because they're mad at them, I just don't talk to them. I say, you know, I don't do vengeance just because, you know, somebody stole your boyfriend or, you know, your girlfriend. If you're seriously wronged and you pray for help, you'll find that the means and the opportunity will be presented to you. The moment will provide for you. And I've had clients who are terrified to do this stuff, and I say, just go do it. And the means and the opportunity will present itself to you, and they come back and they go, oh my God, you won't believe this. I say, well, I will, because, you know, I've heard this, but go ahead. And they go, it just, my God, you know, I had a client who I could tell you stories, but I probably shouldn't, but, you know, they said, oh my, you won't believe what happened. And I said, yes, I know. And, you know, stuff just fell into their hands. So do it, you know, just go do it. Now, I have a thirst for revenge myself. You know, at a young age, I read The Count of Monte Cristo and savored it. But revenge has to be, right? That gave me a revenge, you know. I said, I will ruin you, you know, not my sword, but your own actions defeated you, Ondego, you know.
And you know what? At the end of the day, Sneaky Tricks is perfect for things like revenge work. In fact, there's a whole product line. Mm-hmm. It's really dedicated to this double cross oil and double cross product.
And you will walk invisible among your enemies. It is an amazing thing. And most of the sneaky tricks that people ask me to do involve the workplace, people getting passed up for promotion, people
that's always
doing
fun.
Underhanded means, or a lot of times it is, unfair advantages in love and things. You know, somebody's stolen their mate and stuff. But a lot of the work is in the workplace. People trying to get ahead and people being unjustly served at work. You look into, and people are good-hearted. People tend to be a little naive. You know, I get calls and people say, "Well, you know, at work there's a bunch of people who don't like me and they're gossiping about me and this." And I say, "You know, man, that's the world. Everywhere you work, that's going to happen. You know. Good luck finding a place where everybody. Good luck at that. And if you're successful and hardworking and have a good work ethic, that's almost guaranteed going to happen. That there's going to be somebody who's going to try to ruin you. So, you know, that's the world. That's just the world, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so.
Mm-hmm. So when
you
say sneaky tricks, because you said this up quite nicely, and you're right that a lot of people ask for it when it comes to work. But you find it in a lot of different works, right? Love work, revenge work. When people say sneaky tricks, what is your go-to practice when you say
my practice
tricks, right? Like
is to get the person
to
destroy.
Person.
Yeah, powder. I like powders and oils. Yes, and my goal is to get the person to destroy themselves with their own actions.
Delicious. That just sounded so wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, and like if you're working on your boss, give him a gift. give him treated cigars. Give him, if he likes food, give him treated food. Jewelry, cursed jewelry. Certain crystals are great for cursing. You know, black tourmaline, black onyx. Curse it. Treat it. You can treat jewelry and curse it. Smoke it in incense and curse destruction. Curse it. Give them cursed jewelry. Give them jewelry that's been designed to make them favor you. Give them gifts and give them. You can even give them anonymous gifts and you can do a number of things if they use personal care products. I had a client and I said, does your boss have a refreshing room where he goes in to refresh himself for business meetings? She goes, yeah. I said, well, get in there and treat his shaving cream, treat his soaps, treat his lotions. Now, I say men use more hair product and more skincare lotions than women do, especially, corporate people. And, these skin burnishers, that make you glow and stuff. And I said, treat that with oil. I said, oh, I can never do that. I said, well, how badly do you want this promotion? This poor girl was doing everybody's work and not getting any kind of recognition. I want it really badly. Boss fix, go in there and do boss fix on it. And she goes, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe what happened. And she said, he went out and just everybody went out and the office was empty. And I said, okay, fine, good. Spirits did it. So she went, I said, do this three times, do it three times, do it five times. Go in there and treat that personal care product. And, he was a guy that, he shaved his head and oiled it. When you shave your head, you can buy these things that make your head gleam, like head wax. And so she was working his head and, right there next to his brain with Boss Fix and leaving petitions under his desk and all kinds of stuff. She worked that guy to death. And, sure enough, now here's what happened with her, though. She did not get the promotions there. And she was really dejected. Other people got the promotions. But one of the people who was a manager there got picked up by another company. And that manager came in and cherry-picked all the really good people that worked at this company, including her. And she got a better position at another company. So see, spirits often work. Yeah, spirits will come in the side door sometime. And so all the really good people left this company and – you know, apparently their sales all went down and stuff. So it was it was really, you know, she called me and she goes, I got a better job with this manager I worked with at that company. I said, so you see, it worked out for you even better. And that's just, sometimes you don't get what you ask for. You get something better. And so that's how that.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. So see, that trick turned into a treat. Because she hated that boss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that, we've had some great example of a sneaky trick here using with personal appearance products. How about you, Madam Nadia? When we say sneaky tricks, what are you thinking about? Like, what are ways that you can use it in your life or in your practice or with your clients?
Well, chocolate, baby. Chocolate. Mm-hmm. You want to give somebody something, you know, a box of chocolates, you put some powder on it, or even better, this Gemini girl will tell you, smoke that shit up in some incense, right? You can double cross incense, whatever it is, better be outside, but you can smoke any item in incense and then give it to other people. But my favorite trick ever was at the job place that I went to. You know how there's air fresheners, but they have oil in it, and they're like sticks, almost like a divination device, but it's for air fresheners. You just put in there, and the sticks like pick up the oil slowly. Well, I added a bunch of stuff to that oil. I took money, you know, that cut up money, that the bills that you could add. I added a lodestone. I added all kind of things. And that thing stood on my desk at the job place. And it was discreetly covered. You just saw the tip of it. But everybody was breathing this. It's an air freshener. So everybody was putting it in, you know, oh, Madam Nadia's going to get paid more. Madam Nadia's going to be loved by everybody. Madam Nadia's going to get a raise. Of course Madam Nadia's going to get a raise. Here's your money, Madam Nadia. Thank you. Smell the air, right? So that is that. But when I work with clients, I really, my mind loves troubleshooting. And I absolutely enjoy the response when people come tell you, well, I can't get personal concerns. I don't know how to do it. You know, I'll buy 300 candles. I'll pay you a bunch of money to send me these candles, but I can't do the you know, tricks, or I can't pick up personal concerns. So I really enjoy troubleshooting and make it very personal depending on what the situation is. You know, is it a couple? Is it a workplace? What is it? Let's figure out how your organization works, and let's figure out a trick for that. But you know what? When you start thinking about that, they start getting all kinds of ideas outside of the trickiness of, like, how is my workplace working? Who's in charge? Who's, you know, who's in the bottom? Who can I work for my advantage? So you're giving them essentially a lesson in leadership and systems as well as sneaky tricks. So that's a little bit of what I like to do. What about you,
Ali? That's a fantastic combination. Ghosted Conjure in the chat room said something quite important, I think, that's worth mentioning. She mentioned the Trojan horse. And the sneaky trick is very much like a Trojan horse, right? It's an ability to get access to a person in a way that they may not think of. It's also particularly a good way of, we often talk about clients that may be hard to be worked on, right? They're resistant, they fight back, they don't like to do, you know, what they're told. And sneaky tricks is a way around that. Right. So a really skilled conjurer combined thing. They're not just doing altar work or things at home. They're finding a way of really putting that person in contact with their emergence. In fact, most root workers, up until relatively recently, I would say, didn't do a lot of altar work, you know, by which I mean these kind of grand rituals at home. They did things at home. They made mojo bags, they lit candles, they had dolls, all sorts of things. But more often than not, it usually involves doing something at home and then taking it to the person. So, for example, doll babies. Today, where it's more common that we find that doll babies are kept, right, at home. But I grew up at a time with people where doll babies were buried. You made a doll baby, you buried it at that person's house. If it was a hot foot doll baby, you buried it upside down, and you made sure that the red peppers that were in its feet were upwards facing the ground, so the person was walking over. It was a love doll baby, you buried it under the front doorstep, right? So there were all sorts of ways of doing sneaky tricks. And the way sneaky tricks, I like to work with them, and I like to build towards like a sort of crescendo, right? So I start off with what I've got. If I don't have personal concerns, and for the record, they're actually very easy to get. I've literally reached over and grabbed it off of someone, showed only a little piece of hair. It's not unusual, right? It's very normal. It's only weird if you make it weird, right? If you're sitting there and like, hey, I need a piece of your hair for the spell I'm going to do, they're going to look like you're crazy. But if you just reach over and grab a little piece of hair, no one's
going to. Yeah, it's like you pick lint off of them. Yeah.
Hey, you just pick lint. You know, you get a little something on your shoulder. Very easy to do. Or if you work with someone, it's on their chair, it's on their computer desk. It's not as complicated as you think. But you build up, right? So I'll give you an example. Because I had a client, very, very little connection to the person she was interested in. It was a neighbor. And so we started off very small. And the neighbor, in the sense of, they didn't live next door, but they were in the same neighborhood. Like, she had access to this property. So we started off really small. What we did first and foremost is work with powders and walking those powders to her door, right? And we did this for a period of time. It was a sneaky trick. She would go out really late in the morning, early in the morning when he was asleep, and laying those out. And that started to build a slight relationship. They were able to talk with one another. I'm like, great, that's excellent. We've now built it to the point. Then when I had her use an excuse while they were talking, can I use your bathroom? Went into the bathroom, and she grabbed a little piece of hair. But while she was grabbing that little piece of hair, she had a paper packet that I had made filled with powder that she sprinkled on the carpet and rubbed her feet in so he couldn't tell. Grabbed the hair from the bathroom, brought it back home. We then used the hair to create a doll baby. That doll baby was then buried in his front doorstep, wrapped around her underwear. And we kept working in this way, and at the end of 2 months, they were ready to move in together, right? So I like to work sneaky tricks as a way of kind of getting inside before you've gotten inside, and I work in that fashion. Now that they live together, the next step was, guess what? You put your sexual fluids in those cookies that you're making for them. You put your sexual fluids in that coffee that you make for them, in that pasta that you're making for them. And so sneaky tricks I like to work. The little building block that I add bit by bit by bit without the other person even knowing. And that's the key of sneaky tricks. Now their house is all sorts of fixed. Things placed under candlesticks, things placed in boxes of sugar, things put in food, and all of those is sneaky tricks. I am a spiritual
sabotage. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a spiritual sabotage. But
or
in this case,
build up.
It's a trick. It's a sweet treat. It's a sweet trick, I should say, in the sense that it's meant to do good. Sneaky tricks has kind of this negative connotation of, oh, you're doing something bad. And certainly it can be. Double cross, crossing, hot footing, all of those have really strong connotations with sneaky tricks. But it's also done for good, right? Madame Nandi, you mentioned we work. This is something I do at work, right? I'm infamous for feeding everyone at work. So I come in with cookies, and they, you know, and they're like, oh, he's just a charming and friendly person. Little did they know that those cookies have been prayed over, the sugar and the cinnamon and the salt, all of that goes in there. And before they realize it, I'm you know, they're my number one fans, right? So
sneaky tricks allows you to do. We all are, man, and I've been eating in your house, and now I'm concerned, you know? I'm not really concerned. But I wanted to say that there, you'll meet people that you will say, well, this is you need to lay a trick, or you're going to be tricky about it. And some people will take it like fish to water, and some people will be like, no, I have a, you know, a moral crisis over it and whatnot. So I always try to explain to people, the minute you do magic, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, if you're praying for world peace, or if you're trying to seduce your neighbor, or you're trying to send your, you know, rapist boss to jail, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do. You are changing the reality. You're manipulating the reality for your desire. So if you are not okay with that, then you should not be doing it. Because if a person, you probably don't really want it, you don't want it enough, or you're not ready for it. Because the last thing you want to do is be like trying to put a sneaky trick and looking like spending 30 minutes just looking around. Is somebody going to see me? Is somebody going to see me? You're going to be sitting there for enough time to like the whole neighborhood. So, you know, you got to have some sort of connection, you should be able to do it or really, really want to do it. And it's not that difficult, but the state of mind is extremely important. And I think when we work with clients, it's also important to kind of analyze the client and be like, well, I don't think you'll be able to do that. I can teach you, but you got to be really like, think about it. Be ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. One of the first questions I ask is, how badly do you want this? You know, how badly do you want this? Because, you know, you're trying to change the future. You know, the future is going to look like this. I said, the reason we're doing magic is to change the future, try to change the future. Right? Because it's like if you go into a casino that you have certain odds about winning roulette. You do luck magic to try to increase those odds. You're trying to change the future. So you're gambling on your future. How badly do you want this? Because there's going to be consequences when you try to change the future. And so you're going to increase your chances, you know, of getting this guy back, getting this girl back, getting this job. And those consequences means if you get this promotion, someone else will not. And that will set into motion another chain of events. So understand that. You know, how badly do you want this? What are you willing to do for it? You know, it's the same thing with any other, if magic or non-magic, are you willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen? And because, you know, you get this promotion, someone else does not, you're going to have to face that. You know, this person, oh my God, I didn't get this promotion. Yeah, I'm going to lose my house. You know, this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, how badly do you want this? Okay, you're going to get this guy. That means that someone else will not. You know, you're going to have to, you know, this guy may have another relationship, you know, that you're not telling me about. Right. So, you know, when a lot of time in love work, once they get the guy, 6 months later, they call you up and say, okay, how do I get rid of this guy? You know, so.
Well, you know, when it comes to risk and how badly you want it, it's not always just about, you know, what the cost is. It's also about your own willpower, right? So think about what sneaky tricks meant a lot of the time. If you're living in early 20th century, late 19th century, rural Mississippi, and you need to go and bury something under that one person's door, and you're an African American, that's quite literally a dangerous act. Or the act of going down to the crossroads for 9 Sundays in a row to meet the black man at a crossroads. You're putting yourself in literal physical danger in order to do something like that, living where you do in the time period that you do. But people did it because it was an act of indomitable will, right? That you were going to change what was going to happen. This is why I've always said that I will take powders laid down in front of someone's doorstep over 6 months worth of putting on masks and robes and waving around wands and swords in the comfort of your own bedroom, right? I'm not saying that stuff is not important or that stuff is not powerful, but there's a difference when you're doing it in the comfort of your bedroom to when you're actually out in the real world trying things to change. And this is a sneaky trick to allow you to do. It allows you to go out there, but it also isn't you sitting up and setting up a ritual in the middle of the crossroads. It's risk, but it's sneaky enough that you're able to put it under the radar. It comes from an ability to reclaim power in a situation where you may not be able to overtly do it. So you're at work. You're not going to be able to take on your boss head on. But you know what you can do? You can take a little paper packet under their chair that's filled with some herbs and some powders. You're not going to be able to know exactly where your husband or your wife is at every single moment of the day, whether they're at work or whether they're out with their friends. But you know what you can do? You can sew a little bit of your hair into their pants, so that they're always hot for you, or into the headband of their hat, so that they're always thinking about you. Sneaky tricks are a way of regaining power in a situation where you can't overtly force change. And they are probably the oldest form of root work that we find, long before candles, long before anything else. Sneaky tricks were really kind of the oldest thing, even today when we were doing kind of historical work, we find that in plantations and slave quarters, that we find sneaky tricks. You remove the floorboards or the walls, and you'll find mojo bags that have been buried. You'll find dolls that have been buried. You'll find
bottles up in the chimney.
Bottles in the chimney. You'll find all sorts of things. And all of these are part of sneaky tricks. So we do have a few minutes. I want to do a kind of quick lightning round because we really talked about theoretical aspects of this, about really what's our favorite go-to sneaky trick. So I'll go first to give you guys some time to think about it. One of my favorite, absolute favorite sneaky tricks is a hot foot spell where I create a bottle and I stick pins into the top of the bottle so that when you shake it up, it pricks with inside. And I shake that up over 9 days. And on the 9th day, I bury it upside down in the person's driveway, walkway, front door, whatever, so that they're forced to walk over it. I have yet to see it fail. It is amazing. It is fantastic. And every time I've done it, that person cannot wait to get out of my way. It's a hot foot spell, old school. Bury that bottle right in their long front door. Let's go with the John St. Germain, and then we'll have Matt about it. What is your go-to sneaky trick, John?
For a hot foot?
No, any sneaky trick. Just your go-to.
Oh, I want to give you a really good hot foot for a relative or someone that you know. You offer to clean their house for them. You say, I want to give you a great birthday present. Let me clean your house for you. Here, you know, here, go out to dinner. You know, you and your wife, your husband, go out to dinner. Then you go in and you hot foot the living hell out of their house. You put cursed powders in the corners. You do every doorway. You spray the house. Mm. You put black salt everywhere. You hot foot the living. You do a really good job cleaning their house, but then you dirty it back up. But you offer to clean the house for them.
Physically clean, spiritually a mess. I like that. That's good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Spiritually clean. You physically clean it. Spiritually dirty it. And man, they. You do. You put stuff under their bed so they have nightmares. You put it in their bed so they have nightmares. Mm-hmm. You neuter the male so he can't have sex. You just do everything you can to make their lives utter hell. And
true
Trojan
horse. There. I like that.
Oh,
how about you?
Man, yeah. This I advise clients to do this to get rid of unwanted marital partners.
Mm-hmm. Madam Nadia, please.
I'm going to even take it farther with unwanted marital partners and go into your ex-husbands and wives and stuff like that. Money situations always are a situation when you're dealing with your exes. So you can, if you're actually going to bring them cash, or you're going to give them a check or whatever it is, you can always smoke it in double gross incense or all kinds of interesting other things. You can wash it in things, but I also recommend taking a little bit of your urine with your finger, just touching to the money or whatever, and you're saying, as you're going to touch it, you're going to be my bitch forever. That's
Ooh,
that's a Madam Nadia for you.
that is definitely
that's a good one.
Good one.
Yeah.
We've had a fantastic discussion. I think that I really hope that you'll come back on, Jonathan Germain, and we'll have another opportunity. The sneaky tricks is something.
Yeah, I'm going to work on a book for. I'm going to work on a book on that.
Fascinating. That'd be fantastic. I look forward to it. Thank you for the topic. I hope everyone learned something. And now it's time to have Papa Newton lead us on to our next segment.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Conjure Man Ali and special co-host Madam Nadia, and this week's special guest, John St. Germain. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 229 in Georgia. This is AP24. AP24, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Hello.
Hello. And I see that you have not gone to Conjure Man Ali or Miss Cat for a private session on this situation, but I do see that you have gone to another reader on this situation, and it was Miss Aida, and it's been 2 years ago, was it?
Yes, sir, Miss Aida.
Okay, certainly. And 824 writes, will I get an early termination on my probation? Will I ever be successful and find a job? Am I cross? Will I have a safe pregnancy? Turning back to you, Punchman Ali.
Thank you, Papa Newt. We're going to have Madam Nadia do our first reading, filling in for Miss Cat. Then we're going to have Chauncey and Jermaine, and I will finish up with that. Good advice.
Okay.
So, Madam Nadia, if you can please.
Yes.
Flip those.
Hello. Hello, my dear. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Okay, good. Thank you for allowing me to read for you. Now, I hear multiple questions in that one question. So I think because of the nature of the show, we should focus on one subject. And obviously, if there's something else that's going to come up, I will let you know about it. But what is the most important of these questions to you at the moment?
Finding a job.
Okay, and what sign of a zodiac are you?
I'm a Capricorn.
You're a Capricorn, of course. That makes sense. Capricorn and a job. Wonderful. I'm going to read with the Pagan Underworld Tarot, which is sort of built on the Rider-Waite system. And let's see, it's going to be a 3-card cut. Oh, it's going to be a 4-card cut because we have extra timing cards or moon cards. Well, my dear, first of all, you got a beautiful reading, and I am absolutely thrilled to tell you about this card, and I'm invoking all the spirits of abundance to stand by you as you're looking for this job. So my first card that showed up is called Strength. In this specific deck, we see a woman who is holding a petting a bear. The specific card is associated with the sign, with Leo as the zodiac sign, but it also talks about being able to conquer our fears and stand very confident as we follow our heart. And that totally spills into the next card, which is the Ace of Cups. And this is your heart. This is the purity of your desire and the blessing of the highest above on what you want, followed by the 9 of Cups, which also say there is a room for celebration, there is a room for happiness, there is a room for feeling very comfortable and good about where you're at. And when I look at it, I'm saying, you, whatever is happening in your life, you got to follow the dream. And maybe people are telling you, don't compromise. You need to go for the simple. Don't try to get to, you know, don't try to reach the stars. I'm telling you the opposite. This is exactly what it is. Whatever the circumstances that happened to you before this reading and that may be preventing you from finding a job, whatever has happened, every experience, small and large, created the person that you are today. And your dreams are valid just like somebody else's dreams. But here is the kick. You are very, very good at something very specific. There is a lot of water here. There's a lot of emotions. You're present and you're ready to deliver it. And so the spirit is kind of saying, you got to wait for the right timing. And the right timing is not that far away. I see a couple of months. But all of that is coming together, and it's almost like flowing. It's happening naturally. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is there something very specific that you want to do and you were putting it aside, or you're looking everywhere else because there is, you know, because you need a job?
Yeah, like, I always want to do, like, I always want to sew and do fashion, right? But I caught a charge, and so I threw it all to the back. So I said, I just got to try to just get any kind of job I can get right now, and I haven't had a job in years.
wait. So what do you want to do? What is that that you want to do for a living? That you really want to do?
I like to sew. I want to sew and make clothes, and I like
absolutely.
Fashion. this is absolutely, this is that the strength card, this is a card for fashion right there. It's a statement. The talking about the zodiac sign of Leo, they like to be on the stage. This is what they're good at. The sun is shining through them. So what I would say, even if you need to take other jobs, plan, because Leo is about, we're talking August. So I'm saying August 2017, you're going to get a great opportunity. Build up to that. And I'm going to let the gentleman talk more about it. But your cards are beautiful, and I'm wishing you the most success. You are made for it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Madam Nadia. Let's have John St. Germain do the next reading.
Well, I have I made three cuts for you, and I have two cards for each cut. So I want to tell you about your job. I too drew strength for your card. I'm using the Rider-Waite deck also. Is the one I grabbed on my fast whale here. I too drew strength, and that means in terms of your job, you will have to be strong, which means you may not get the first couple of jobs you apply for. You will have to be strong. But the other card I got was the Six of Pentacles. That means you'll get paid. You'll get paid. Now, because the gentleman is weighing how much he gives out, in this particular instance, I'm interpreting that to mean that you're going to gradually build up to a good salary. You know, you're not going to go out and get a huge job, you know, that's going to pay you a lot of money. You're going to be paid accordingly to your job. You know, you'll be given a you know, a small wage and a larger wage, and you have to build up to it. In other words, you're going to have to redeem, you know, your position. Now, about your probation. I have the Nine of Wands and I have Justice, and this means to me your probation officer is kind of tough on you, but I think that your probation will end. It may end early, but it looks like your probation officer is kind of tough on you. So it may run longer than you like, but I get the idea that it's going to balance out. It may, you know, he's kind of tough on you. That's what I get with the Nine of Wands. I don't know if you ever saw that, but it's someone beat up with sticks, but he's finished. So I think that you'll be finished before too long, but, you know, you're going to feel it. You know, he's going to be kind of tough on you. About your pregnancy, I have the Ten of Wands and the Sun. This means, I think, that your pregnancy is going to end successfully. You're going to have a healthy baby. The Ten of Wands, though, means that it might be kind of a hard labor. It's going to be a hard labor, but you're going to have a good baby.
Okay.
So I'm just giving you a quick reading. You know, that's what I see. You know, if you have any questions about that, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thanks, John.
Sure. Thank you
for your reading. I think you've got you know, all of your questions kind of answered, and Matt, I'm not really focused in on the success and job, and John St. Germain, how all, you know, thoughts and light to the this situation with your parole officer and your pregnancy. So I am going to give you some root work advice based off of what they saw. I think first and foremost what you want to do is get yourself a mojo bag. And Madam Nadia saw a timeline, and it's a timeline that I agree with, and it's something that I'm in sympathy with. In regards to finding the ideal career. And so a mojo bag is ideal because it lasts a long time. Like, it's not a candle that you burn down and then you forget about and you never do it again. This is something that you carry with you wherever you go, particularly because you said sales and fashion and a variety of different. The mojo bag that I'm going to recommend to you has a component in it that is very strong for women, in particular in the fashion field. It works with three components, and then it builds from there. These are kind of at the heart of it, if you will. So you're going to get yourself a red flannel bag or a red bag, and you're going to put in a Queen Elizabeth root, an Angelica root, and a little bit of Althea. These three are very good for female empowerment, for beauty, for strength, and they're also helpers. Both Queen Elizabeth, Angelica, all three, Angelica and Althea, are very powerful helper spirits, right? So you want them in this mojo bag to be your allies, to help find you your ideal career, to offer you protection, and most importantly, success. You're going to then add cinnamon. I would recommend an actual cinnamon stick rather than powder, which this will be to draw in and draw fast, money and luck and fortune. Five-finger grasp, you success with all five of your fingers. This is going to be good, in particular, if you ever have to deal with it in different fashion. You're going to put a small piece of pyrite in there. You're going to put deer's tongue for eloquence in sales, and you are going to add just a pinch of catnip, which is to help, which is to add a look me over quality to it. Crane
repeat that last one.
Catnip.
Okay.
Catnip is get a look me over quality to it. It makes people give you that double take, right? It has a particularly strong effect on men. What you're going to do is you're going to pray into that bag, your prayer. You're going to ask for aid. Put in a small petition, very small, not a giant piece of paper. And what I mean by small petition is you're going to write down the qualities you're looking for in a job. I want a job that allows me to be financially stable, for opportunities for development and growth and promotion, that provides me with, that is in the field that I am interested in, fashion and sales, that utilizes my skills, that is close to my home, etc. You're going to write that, place that into the bag, close the bag up with three knots. You're going to carry this bag with you every day wherever you go, praying over it nightly. Once a week, you're going to feed it a little bit of whiskey, a little bit of Crown of Success oil, and a little bit of Look Me Over oil. It's a powerful mojo bag that is going to be your personal ally and assistant as you go out looking for your career, looking for your job. Keep it with you at all times. You can put it in your pocket, pin it to your undergarments, whichever you feel most comfortable with. In regards to your parole officer, my recommendation is to get yourself salt, sugar, and sumac. Sumac berries can be found in powdered form, or you can grind them up. It's like a purple powder. You mix all three of these together, and it'll turn out to be a very light purple color looking thing that's not very easily seen on carpet. Pray over this so that whoever walks through it grants you mercy, grants you freedom, and allows you to be and lets you go. Right? And you're going to put this wherever you're going to meet with your parole officer. If you're about to walk in, when you're sitting at the table, have it in your hand. You can pour it out from your hand. If you're going to meet him, you can put it out, or her, you can put it out in the front of their office. If you're meeting them somewhere public, place it there. But it is a strong mixture that will bring you what you need in your legal situation. It blends, so again, salt, sugar, and sumac. And it is good for getting mercy when you've already kind of been dealing with the court system. So that's my recommendation based off of what I heard from our talented readers. Really two-part works. One, to help bring in that career and the success that you are going to be working towards, building towards, over a period of time, as Madam Nadia said. And the other, to smooth things over with the parole officer with that mixture. I'm going to now turn this over to, we have some time, to Madam Nadia and to John St. Germain. We'll go to Madam Nadia first and see if they have anything to add or any specific details they want to include in based off of the reading that they have done. So, Madam Nadia, what would you recommend in this situation?
Sure. I'm always amazed at your suggestions, Granger Manali, and this was beautiful. This mojo bag can sustain and manifest so much. I love especially having pyrite there and Queen Elizabeth root for feminine power and magnanimity. I would add a little cardamom in there. I love adding cardamom for success, especially if we're talking about success in fashion, things like that, to be paid attention to. I like cardamom and maybe a mercury dime as well to help more create connections, networking, and so people are favorable and doors are open and roads are open. And another thing is that my spirits are bugging me to say, if possible, make that mojo bag out of leather.
I don't know why. I don't know if the quiller is interested in working with leather, but leather for some reason is important. So it's like a style statement here or something of that nature. But my recommendation would be try to do it with leather, or, you know, make it yourself or buy some leather. And when you're going to be oiling it, that in the, with, you know, some wonderful oils, you're going to be really feeling it, like enjoy the texture of it, pray over it. If you're putting oil on it, just feel it and really talk into it. Don't forget it's your ally. That's all I have to add.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Nadia. I think that's a fantastic addition. Let's turn to John St. Germain and see if he has anything further to add in regards to work.
That's a wonderful mojo bag. The sumac is something I've never considered in relationship to Queen Elizabeth Root, too. That's making notes here. I would, if you'd like to work with crystals, I have some ideas of crystals concerning helping with childbirth. In fact, this is something I've helped a lot of people with who want to help ease the childbirth alone. And that is, and you can make a second bag with this, or you can add chips to your mojo bag. If you do the mojo bag, get chips, this little small polished, and these need to be polished for these to be good with childbirth. I would get a small piece of jade, and I would get a small piece of moonstone and a piece of carnelian and a small piece of malachite, and put these in either that bag, or you can get bigger pieces and make a separate bag. And you don't have to oil these, but you don't want to oil rocks anyway, but you can smoke them in various instances. And if you're going to do childbirth, I would smoke them in sandalwood, or I would smoke them in frankincense, a blessing incense. And if you wanted to charge them up, you would charge them up yourself and pray for the successful birth, and, you know, fill them with love for your baby. And when your baby is born, you'd put this bag, make sure it's in a bag. You don't want to put pieces of rock, you know, under a baby, but put it under your baby's pillow or under your baby's crib.
Before the baby is born, I just wanted to clarify for people who might be listening. Do you put the stones in a bag, or these things you put in the bedroom or an altar?
If you work with an altar, you can put it on an altar. What I think would be very nice would be to carry it close to the child. Put it on the belly, hold it in your hand over the belly, and talk. When you talk to your baby, I'm sure, you put your hand on your belly and talk to the baby and pray. When you pray for the safety, and create a bond between you, the baby, and the earth. The earth mother energy, they're in the stones. The earth is the mother of us all. And connect with earth mother energies in the stones, and let the stones become protectors. And these little stones can be kept for the rest of your life. They can be very special. They can be given as a gift when your child is older, turned into jewelry, pendants, or even just left in the bag as a protector to carry. Because the stones will age and grow. Over time.
That is absolutely fantastic. You've got some
that's a beautiful thing about stones, here. Stones will be around longer than we will. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You've got some great suggestions here. Follow them, and I have no doubt that you will find the success that you so desire. I do thank you for calling in and trusting us with your situation, and I wish you luck. Call back and let us know how things went in this situation. We are going to have Papa Newt come in and lead us on to our next caller.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandreworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 602 in Arizona. This is Loa Believer. Loa Believer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
welcome to the show. I see it's your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. I do see that you have gone to Miss Kat in a private reading before, but was it about this situation you're calling in, or was this about a different situation?
It was about my previous relationship with an ex-boyfriend at that time, but I'm no longer with that person.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And you've gone to know other readers as well for the situation. And she writes, "Will I meet my true love? Will someone new or someone from my past be the one I see as my husband? I want to know what obstacles stand in my love life. Am I jinxed, crossed, or cursed?" Turn it back to you, Conjurer Ali.
Thank you, Papa Newt, for that, for reading the description. Loa Believer, I have a couple questions to dive into your reading, so bear with me. First, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Scorpio.
Scorpio, okay, fantastic. And secondly, you said your screen name is Loa Believer. Are you a servitor of Loa or initiator in Hoodoo?
I actually have been practicing Hoodoo for about 3 to 4 years. Not consistently, but on and off.
Mm-hmm. Not
and
Hoodoo,
LOA
you said Loa, Loa Believer. So I'm asking if you're involved in the ATR that worships the Loa.
Oh, no, that's more for a law of attraction, just, you know, living a positive
gotcha.
Lifestyle.
So LOA is Law of Attraction, not ATR. Thank you for clarifying that. I am
sorry about that.
No, that's perfectly fine. It just goes to show you where my mind is at and where your experience is. I was just coming from two different worlds at this, which is perfectly fine. Madame Nelly goes, mine as well. So whenever we see LOA or LWA, many of us in the ATRs go, okay, voodoo. Or voodoo, and but you know, it also means law of attraction. So thank you for that, for clarifying that. Now you're a Scorpio. How old
yes.
are you? If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to tell me your exact age. Just tell me again.
I'm in my late 20s. I'm 29.
You're late 20s. Okay. Well, a couple things very important here, and that makes perfect sense to what I'm seeing here. First and foremost, Scorpio is never want for love, okay? Scorpios are one of those signs that are deeply sexy. When they're comfortable in their own skin, they are alluring and magnetic in so many different ways. They will either become fantastic lovers or great cult leaders, is the kind of astrological joke that's often told about Scorpios. So you will not really, you're not want for love, but you're 29. You're in a particular time period where many of us call the Saturn maturing a time period where you're dealing with restriction and dealing with the past and a kind of a moment of gestation where you just kind of have to sit. During this time period, people often have difficulties initiating new things, beginning new projects, moving on, moving forward. It really is a moment of reflection and dealing with the sort of boundaries and restrictions that are in our lives. Now, I say this because your cards are very, very interesting. The very first card I have is the Lover's card. The Lover's card is in the past. This shows us an Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam is sitting by one tree, Eve by another. The serpent is there. And Eve is looking up to the heavens where the archangel Uriel is parting the heavens. Now, this is interesting because your question is, will I find my true love? Not when, but will, right? And that's a very significant difference and something that you need to be aware of, that there is a hesitation there, that you are asking, will you find true love, rather when? And because this card is in your past and that there is already a male present, there's a part of you that wonders if someone from the past will appear. The answer is no, that it's not going to be someone from your past lover, but it may very well be someone that you already know, someone that you may not have thought about in those terms that is going to come into your life. Now, there is an issue here, because the next card that I have is one of restriction, and that is the Moon card. The Moon card, this is when you said you're 29, I immediately went, ah, now that explains this card. The moon card represents sterility, barrenness. It is a person who is remote and distant, a little crawdaddy that's crawling out of the depths of the ocean as two wolf-like, the canine figures, pull up at the moon, but she remains unmoved. So this usually represents delusions or fears or illusions, but in your case, it also represents something quite astrological. It is an astral card, after all, being the moon, quite literally the moon. So, yeah, you're going to be dealing with the Saturn return, and it's going to impact your love life. You may want to get an astrological reading to look more in-depth at what the various components are in your life at this particular time that you should be aware of. But while so long as you are in the Saturn return, you may not find this new, you may not start this new love yet. So it may take a little bit longer. You may have to wait about a year before you find someone that is ideal for you. But be aware that you will find love, but there is just this restriction that you're currently going through. This is the moon. It's the barrenness, but the moon has phases that passes out, right? So for now, there is a delay. There is restriction that you're dealing with. But the future is bright because we have the judgment card. Now, it's interesting that all three of the cards that I have pulled for you are major arcana, meaning that your love situation is not incidental, it's not coincidental, that it's actually central to your situation. And what you're experiencing is not minor, but quite significant, and will change the path of your life. Things are going to be different when you start your new relationship. And the experience that you have in love is going to impact other aspects of your life. This is not just kind of one of those things, oh, if you find love, great. If you don't, you will eventually. But rather, that your experience here is going to be quite transformational. That judgment card tells us that you will find love. It will be someone from your past, not a previous lover, though, not an ex, but someone that you may have met at one point or have some connection with, who will come into your life as a force and will really change things for you. And you will see them in a different light. This person may even change your taste in partners, may change your perspective on who it is you really want or what it is you really want. But I really didn't think of it. If you had asked me 5 years ago, I might not have considered this person a partner. But they are going to be very transformative. And the sense that I get is that this person is likely going to be a fire sign, more than likely an Aries, is the sense that I'm getting, and that they may be a couple years older than you and already a little bit more established in life when it comes to career and what it is that they are looking for. So that is what I got here. I'm going to turn this over to John St. Germain, who's going to do your next reading, and then we're going to conclude with some root work with the Enchantress Extraordinaire, Madame Nam. So John St. Germain, if you could please give us what your insight is.
Oh, well, my goodness. Hi, Lola. I've got a little bit of a story here to tell. Now, when that relationship ended, was it because of interference from another woman?
Yeah, my ex-boyfriend of 6 years was cheating on me with someone for about 2 months while we were living together. So I just got out of that relationship like about 3 months ago. So.
You know, I asked that because the first two cards that I drew were Death and Queen of Cups, and the Queen of Cups is usually a scheming woman. And, you know, a lot of people read Death as change. I read it as death. You know, death is death, man. Come on. Relationship, it was breathing down your neck. You know, that relationship was doomed from the start, I'm afraid. And I've got the heart pierced with three swords, the three of hearts, and then the woman, the two of swords, which means you're kind of in a defensive pattern right now. When this happens, you're kind of sending out a pattern. That's a very scary card. The woman is blindfolded, but if you look closely on the Rider-Waite deck, she's peeking. You know, she's peeking. So if anybody comes close to her, she's going to cut their head off. So really, right now, people, you know, I think the person you're meant to be with, you know, you're looking for him, he's looking for you, but they're kind of afraid to approach you because there's this defensive keep away vibe. And the next two cards I drew are the Lovers and the Page of Cups, and that's a very promising outcome. You know, this says, yeah, man, love energy's right there. In the Page of Cups, if you see this card, there's like a charming young man holding a cup, and there's a fish whispering in his ear. The cup is your emotions. The fish is, you know, trying to tell you something, and so you know this is your emotions trying to tell you, you know, hey, you know, listen, you know, your heart's trying to tell you, you know, this is, you know, love's right here. So, but that you got to let go of that past, and I think you might still have feelings for that guy. And you got to let go of that. You got to pull the swords out of your heart. You see that the swords are pinning your heart down in place, and you got to pull the swords out of your heart and open your heart again, and you know, be unafraid to move forward. And that's, I know it's scary, but you know, you got to take chances again, and you know, be like that child, that page, and be childlike again in your fearlessness to love. And if you send it out, okay, I'm ready. Then you know that person hovering nearby, and I agree with Conjurman Ali, you know, this is somebody who's, you know, you got him in your cup there, right? You know, that cup's got the fish in it. That fish is that person. You got him right there in your cup. All you got to do is, you know, drink him out of your cup, let him in, and I think, you know, things will be, you know, I'm just going to tell you, things will be okay. It's going to be okay. That's all I got to say. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's going to be okay.
John. Let's have Madame Nadia give us some root worker advice. So it looks like we're mostly in agreement here that past is the past, but there are some hesitation still, some doubt even found in the kind of the question, will I find, that there is new love on the way. It's going to be transformative. There's some astral matters, you know, Saturn return. But there and some patterns that Johnson Germain saw, but that there is hope here. So what can she do with root work to help get over this delay and open her up to the love that we all see waiting for her?
Absolutely. Not what can she do, but what will she do? Because we are talking to a woman that named herself after law of attraction. My dear, I congratulate you for that. And that to me is a clear sign that we don't need to rely on maybes. We will conjure up and manifest the lover that you want. And with following the astrological importance in your case, just so you know, we are blessed with a dark moon in Halloween, and the new moon is going to be in Scorpio, which for me somehow is a beautiful sign for your work. So what I want you to do is that I want you to gather some items pretty quickly, because I want you to do some working on the 4th, if you can, and that's a Friday. So I want you to do some work on Monday, and I want you to do some work on Friday. So first of all, on Monday, if you can, get yourself a figural male candle. You want it to be red. You also can make your own figural sort of effigy if you can get a candle. That is fine as well. And what you're going to do is that you're going to be praying over it. You're going to be massaging it. This is going to be the doll or the effigy for your true love. And as you are praying over it and that darkness of the moon in Scorpio, you're going to say a prayer. And that prayer or invocation is going to be as follows. From every space and every place, I call for you, my true love. Okay?
Yeah.
So you're going to pray over it from every space and every place. I call for you, my true love. And you're also going to get yourself, if you indeed get a candle, get yourself 6 clothes pins. And you're going to pray over them as well. Think about that 3 of swords that pierce the heart, all that past pain is going to go away because now the swords and the pins are at your fingers and you're going to pierce them the way you want it to be. I want you to then gather some ingredients. I want you to get some come to me powder, love me powder, and fire of love powder. If you can get the same oils and massage it into your doll or candle, that would be awesome. You also want to get some rose petals, some damiana, some lavender, and milk. Rose petals, damiana, lavender, and milk, as well as honey, could go, or will go, into a beautifying bath on that Friday, okay? You're going to take yourself a beautiful bath. You're going to wear something beautiful. You're going to sit down. You're going to prepare yourself an altar. In the middle of the altar, you're going to have your effigy, and you're going to stick six pins in there, which means that you're dividing it into seven, because ultimately it's a candle, and then you're going to be burning it every night for a little bit until your pin falls out. Okay? So you have your candle, you have six pins in it, which means it's divided into seven sections, and you're going to take your come to me powder, and you're going to put it around counter, you're going to put it clockwise around your effigy or your candle, and you're going to put your pins in it, right? And then you're going to put around love me powder as well in with the clock, and then fire of love powder as well. You're going to burn this candle for 7 days. When the candle is burned, you're going to take whatever is left to the nearest crossroads, bury the candle at the crossroads, but keep the powders. And as you walk back home from the crossroads, disperse the powder a little bit as you walk, enough for you to get to your own door. As you pray for the love of your life to come and find you. And I promise you, you're going to create some powerful network of allies and spirits. Your whole spiritual neighborhood is going to be looking out for you, and you're going to bring the one that you need in your life, the one that's going to be your true love. And as I said, from every space and every place, I call for you, my true love.
That
okay?
is beautiful, beautiful work. As
very
you know,
nice,
I'm,
very nice.
You do not fail to impress. I do want to add one quick thing here. We have a couple of minutes. You are one of the issues that we saw is things that are kind of holding you up. Some of it is astrological. There's not a lot you can do about it other than learning how to cope and develop the strategies to deal with it, right? Part of Saturn return is to just learn the restrictions you got to work with. And when you do that, you can thrive. You really can. A lot of people think Saturn return is like you just mope. That's not true. Or you just kind of languish. That's not true. You learn to work within your restrictions. You learn to ride the wave, so to speak. But I do also want you to do some work to help heal. The breakup is not that far under the balance, so I want you to do certain things to help you with that. And one of the greatest ways to do it is the bath. And it's a bath that I have recommended over and over again on this radio show, and I will do so once more. It's kind of my go-to heart, healing the heart, beauty, love uncrossing bath. What you're going to do is you're going to get yourself draw yourself a bath. You're going to add to this bath some milk, some honey. You're not going to add too much honey because it will clog things up. So you're going to add some honey and mix it in there. You are then going to add in a tea that you have brewed of violet leaves, which is excellent, excellent for healing the heart, and rue, which is good for uncrossing. So you brew both of that into a tea, add it into the milk and honey mixture, and then you can cover it with rose petals if you like. This is a soaking bath. You want to actually lay in the bath and soak, and it is fantastic for healing the heart. Let yourself just kind of soak in this. It's beautiful. It's great for the skin, but it is also excellent for uncrossing any type of love crossing, self-jinx, heartbreak that you may have. Do this in addition to the work that was recommended to you, and I have no doubt that you will find the love that you seek. Thank you for trusting us with your situation. Hopefully you can call back in a couple months and let us know, hey, you found your love, and you know, give us the good news that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to come in with an announcement, and finally, our free spell segment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rook Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Dania, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday at 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday at 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Wesson, Saturdays 5 to 7, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. Take it away, John.
Well, good evening, folks. This is a spell that I recommend very highly. We talked earlier about putting tricks in hair product. This is what you do if I'll just say if your man is misbehaving. Let's say your man is not treating you right, and let's say he's not good in bed, and he's been misbehaving with other people. Take some Stay With Me oil and put it in his hair product and do this for a couple of weeks. And then after a couple of weeks, harvest his hair. Now, we know that we use hair as a personal concern in many spells. This is going to increase its potency tremendously. So you can use that hair in the honey jar in any kind of spell you like. But this is one I recommend very highly. Make a spell bag with that harvested hair, with bindweed or lady's thumb, a little bit of your essence. You can use one of your hairs or some of your sexual juices, magnolia leaves, cherry bark, and juniper berries, and put this under the head of his the bed where he sleeps, under the mattress. And what will happen with this, of course, this is a bag very good for keeping fidelity in the bed and also for manning the man up for sexual potency. But understand that because that you've pre-treated the hair has absorbed this conjure oil. And you can use a lot of conjure oils for this. Any love oil, you can use obsession, make him obsess about you. Write your name on the bag with a prayer petition. Put that in the bag as well. And the hair on his head that has been treated with these conjure oils, and keep conjuring it, keep putting the stuff in the hair product, will be drawn to the hair that's pre-treated in the bag, by the laws of magic, and will really bind with him. And this should be a very, very potent spell for help keeping a man faithful, keeping him in your bed, and also manning him up sexually. That's my free spell. I hope you enjoy it. This is one I've recommended to many of my clients, and from all reports, it seems to help situations quite
that
a bit.
That was fantastic. Let me ask a few questions.
Cool.
Just again. You spoke a little faster. You may have missed a couple things. I love the idea of treating it with oil beforehand, the facial hair. Now, question in the forum, what happens if the person doesn't have hair? I would assume facial hair would work
that,
as well.
Oh, that comes up, yeah. Somebody said, well, my boyfriend doesn't have hair. He shaves his head. I said, well, he's got to use shaving cream, right? And so dig some of the hair out from his razor because it will go into the scalp, into the hair follicles. If he shaves his face, he's got to bathe, right? So you put it in his bath oil, his body wash, his soap, and get some of the remnants from the tub because that's going to have skin cells in it. The skin will absorb it. While he sleeps, put tape on his back and go rip. get some hair, get some skin on that tape. Any of these will work with anything. And, if he's not shaving and he's not washing, you got another problem altogether, and we'll talk about that some other time.
Now, what oil was it that you recommended treating it with?
I would use Stay With Me oil if he's got a problem, if he's misbehaving with other women, other men or whatever, if he's got fidelity problems, Stay With Me would be a good one. I also like Adam and Eve for general love. Fire of Love is good to heat things up. I love Fire of Love for, when clients hire Fire of Love out and we work it, that sends out such a wave of energy. Things get really active around here, just around the house. We're in our 50s, and it's like we're 20 again. We hurt ourselves, and the tomcats come around the house and yowl at my lady cat's 15 years old and neutered, and they come out and yowl at her, and she looks at them like, "There's nothing here for you. Go away." That Fire of Love is a wonderful tonic and a wonderful conjure oil.
It is great. What were the herbs you mentioned to put into the bag? I got cherry, a few others. If you could just repeat them one more time.
Sure. Bindweed. Lady's thumb or bindweed. Magnolia leaves, cherry bark, and juniper berries. Juniper berries is for sexual potency for men. You know, you can take juniper berries and steep them in whiskey. Just get a bottle of whiskey and steep juniper berries in it, and men can take a shot of that every day to help increase their potency. You can also put, other things in it if you want to. You can put ginseng and boldo. There's a Mexican herb called boldo, B-O-L-D-O, that you can also put in that brew. And I know a lot of guys swear by that. You can brew a tea of it, but put in that and steep it, and just take a shot of that every day. And in fact, there's been medical evidence that boldo, not just conjure and folklore, but medical evidence that boldo will help your endocrine system. So it tastes terrible, but so does ginseng. And juniper is not that great. Juniper, of course, is what they make gin out of, isn't it?
Juniper has certain gin has juniper in it.
Yeah. So you get that gin flavor with juniper. So you can make juniper, boldo, and ginseng, steep in whiskey, and your favorite brandy, I guess you could, but why ruin brandy with it? But take a shot of it for male potency.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Was a time, if you're talking about soaking hair, right, or in oils, people used to put just a person's hair in the oil that they bought before using it for anything.
Uh-huh.
Like if you had a love, oil that you purchased, you put a little bit of your partner's hair in your hair, and that. And then you use that oil for any candle work or feeding both your back or loads or whatever it is. So it's not, you can, if you're not a root worker or like a professional who's going to use that oil for clients, you can certainly personalize oil. And like you mentioned, that's a great way of soaking the oil or conjuring on the hair or the personal concern even before you've actually started to do a lot of work. Put a little bit of the personal concern in that oil. And then use it for your candles.
That's another way to lay a trick. You give someone a gift of some hand lotion that you've oiled up, and you pre-treated their hair with stuff, and you cut the hair up very fine and put it with conjure oil and some hand lotion or some body wash or something, it up and say, oh, look, I bought you a bath basket, your bath beads and oils and stuff in it, and they're bathing in their own destruction, their own downfall.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them,
I once added cross bath crystals and made a couple of boxes of holiday bath salts for a few people. It was epic. I enjoyed them unwrapping their presents.
Jaya Dania says get some horny goat weed to mix with it too. And, why not? Stack the deck in your favor. You overdo it though, and you might wish you hadn't. You'll never get any work done.
Well, thank you both. Let's have I thank you both for being wonderful guests and co-hosts. Let's have the wonderful Papa Newt come in and lead us out in closing, and then we're going to say some final words here.
Thank you, Countryman Ali, and thank you, Madam Nadia, and thank you, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to tune in next week, as we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Countryman Ali at countrymanali.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Madam Nadia at madamnadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And a special thank you to Madam Nadia for being our guest co-host. It's always a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you, John St. Germain, for being a great guest. and
thank you for having me.
Wonderful topic. It was really fun. Hopefully you will come back and we can do a part two of Sneaky Trick. I think it was quite
sure,
seasonally
please.
Appropriate. And of course, thank you to everyone who tunes in and makes the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour possible. This show is, at the end of the day, for all of you, and it wouldn't be possible without. So thank you for tuning in. Have a great week, and happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.